Hashtag no music, no intro. Another Saints Block Party podcast, live stream, live show on YouTube. Thank y'all for watching. We know that the timing's kind of all over the place right now. We're still trying to figure out exactly what our schedule is going to be, but at least we're trying to do this episode a little earlier. So I already have people in the chat. Shout out to Tony. Shout out to Dante. So this episode is really going to be about us. Shout out to Jerry G. Discussing the Saints offense, reviewing it. But also, it's also going to be about, you know, we finished Love is Blind season 6 last night, watched the reunion episode. Shout out to our dude Mark. If you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like, subscribe, all that stuff. We really, really appreciate it. The Twitter thing is going to drive me crazy. Anyway, Saints made a move today. Before we even get into anything, Saints made a move today, signing Kalik Hudson, linebacker, went to Michigan, spent some time as a Commander. Jerry G says, can't believe we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. It's like, we are. I'm just to the point, draft-wise, man. Like, I'm just like, bring it on.
Bring it on. I just can't wait. Like, I ain't for the Saints, bro. Just, I don't know, NFL, just storylines, quarterbacks. Bro. I just can't wait.
So if you listen to Schefter, he, and I don't like using Schefter as a source, but he's saying that quarterbacks, and I know, spoiler alert, potentially 1, 2, 3, Caleb, Jaden, Drake May. And like, to me, that all makes sense. Did I lose you?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I just thought you were still going. Yeah, no, it makes 100%. Makes 100% sense. I mean, I feel like this happens like every year where, you know, the whole NFL draft process and shit comes out, people down on Drake May and all that. But then once you get close to the draft, it's like Drake May still that dude, Caleb still that dude, Jaden Daniels had one of the best college quarterback years ever. They going early. You know what I'm saying? Like, they getting drafted early. They going top five. Which team selects them? You know, maybe, you know, Patriots trade down. Somebody comes up. Who knows? But them three quarterbacks going. The fun will happen after those three. You know, like who?
Arizona.
You know, Arizona and, you know, is the J.J. McCarthy smoke real? You know what I'm saying? What do people think about, Penix Jr. as far as, is he a second round guy? Does he sneak up into the first round? You know, Penix, like, he took this offseason and he went 100% to show everybody, bro. Like, he was at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
He threw at the combine. He did all the interviews. He threw at his pro day. He like, look, he got tape, 2 years of tape. I've been injured in 2 years. Like, what more do you want? I got a cannon arm.
What can I do for you? Please help me help you.
Help me. I just want to play. I got experience. Like, God damn. Are y'all still talking about second round? Come on now.
Y'all trying to put J.J. McCarthy above me? Above me?
Come on, man. J.J. McCarthy like, yeah, but that championship game, though. Wins, baby.
It's Eddie the Don said, I seen a mock where the Cards trade back with the Vikings. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think the Vikings really want Drake May. I think they'd be okay with J.J. McCarthy, but if the Vikings are trading the two first round picks they have in the draft this year and maybe a future first next year or whatever else it could be. I really feel like for them to do that, they want it to be for Drake May and not JJ McCarthy. I could be wrong. I can't wait to see which suckers eat the McCarthy cheese. Here's the thing, man. If JJ goes, like I was thinking about this. If JJ McCarthy were to go to a team later in the draft, like I feel like that would be like the, here's a question for you. Since we're on the subject, what if he's there at 14?
I would never admonish the Saints for taking any quarterback. I don't care. I mean, I don't care if they take any quarterback at 14. If they felt the conviction enough to go get it, I'd be happy, bro. Like, I would be excited just to – I mean, who was that that tweeted that it was like a real cool chart of, like, where teams drafted certain positions?
Oh, so I'm back to, like, 1980. Yeah, who that homo retweeted it, but it wasn't the original tweet, but yeah.
And the Saints had the only little square on there has not selected a quarterback since 1980 in the first round, bro. Every other team. NA. So I'd be fine with it, bro. Like, even JJ McCarthy and all that, like, yeah, oh, it'll be overdrafting and all that. Yeah, but I'd be fine with it, man. But I mean, I don't think they're gonna do it. Like, I just I know this team. Like, in history has shown itself. It's like they're not at that point where they're ready to go and do that. Even though they should be, they should absolutely be in the quarterback market.
They should. They absolutely should. I don't think they will either. So we'll get into the Saints offense a little bit. Our dude White Wealth in the chat saying, L-I-B, L-I-B, L-I-B. So I'll start here. Season's over. Reunion show's over. Reunion show's over. Here, anyone who's like watching the pod, or watching, listening, and has like no idea what we're talking about, don't know why we're talking about Love is Blind, couldn't care less about Love is Blind, listen. This is one of the perks and benefits that comes with us being co-business owners is that at the end of the day, it's our podcast, it's our business. We can talk about whatever the hell we
want. And look, man, it's April. You know what I'm saying? It's April. Not a game.
Three weeks before the draft, Ryan.
Not a ball being snapped. Like, relax. You know what I'm saying? We just talk. We're just two dudes talking.
Also, just a quick update. I believe the data, the prospect matching data, hopefully will be done this weekend. If not this weekend, next weekend.
Need that, Adam. Need it.
Just a spoiler alert. Like I told you this morning, if you're in the Discord, Jared Verse, just chef's kiss.
Listen, man. Falcons.
You know it too.
Atlanta Falcons, please.
Please help us. Save us.
Go get him. Terry probably got some of the same little athletic scores we use. So just go get him, Terry. Get him, Terry.
You want to know how crazy? This is also like and this just came to me because we're talking about the draft. We're talking about defensive players being drafted and just not working out. The Raiders almost get no flack for drafting Tyree Wilson last year. That's how they drafted him, bro.
None.
And
did he do anything? Like, did he play?
Barely. And when he did, he looked like the Texas Tech version of Marcus Davenport to me. And his career started off exactly like that. Like, almost identical to, like, yeah, Davenport's career. Yeah. So Dante said, they want y'all to talk to USFL. No, sir.
No.
Not me. Not happening. What were your thoughts after season? So this is my first foray into Love is Blind, like a whole season.
Yeah, I watched the first season, which was great. First, because, you know, the first is always the best because the cast don't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just really an experiment. And I think I just picked around, watched a couple episodes of the next couple of seasons. Season 6 was the first season I went back and watched the whole thing. I enjoyed it, man. I guess my only thing is I don't like is you could tell like a lot of it's just clout chasing now and
dang, you know, trying to our dude White Wolf in the chat literally said season 1 elite. Too many clout chasers nowadays.
It's just too much clout chasing. I don't know if you saw, but like all the stuff that came out after this or during while the show was coming out of just like a lot of shenanigans going on in the background. You know what I'm saying? As far as like dudes got other side chicks, old ladies, and
the Trevor thing, or was it more?
Trevor was somebody else too. Somebody else. Everybody was wilding, which you know, I mean, it's just part of the game, but. I felt bad for AD, but it seemed like after I saw the reunion, it seemed like they still, you know,
got a little something.
AD, she struck me as just that. She's that typical. She be trying to save her brother, bro. Like she thinks she could fix a dude.
Yes, that's absolutely what
I get from her. You know,
Here's what irked me about the whole Clay and AD thing. Clay knew 2-3 weeks before ahead of time that he was not going to marry AD, and he was not going to say I do.
Bro, come on. Yeah, of course.
And she put it perfectly. She said, like, shout out to our dude, Eddie, that said that Tyree Wilson had 3.5 sacks last year. That's more sacks than Peyton Turner did. God, more sacks than Peyton Turner, more sacks than Isaiah Foskey put together, right? And that man is terrible. Oh my God, bro. I can't. I don't know at what point why Clay couldn't just do what Jimmy did. It's not gonna happen. Like to put her through that emotional thing of like at the altar. She said it perfectly. She was like, I felt like I'm your sacrificial lamb for you to realize what you need in your life. Like, and I came at that expense. And that was real.
That was real. Like he used it as like a teaching moment, like the whole season or whatever. And I ain't like how he played that, man. And the thing is, like he told I'm not gonna blame AD for what, but he was telling her so many words.
He was.
The whole time.
Yes.
But, you know, he just need to be real and spell it out, like, really spell it out instead of just, you know, playing those games like that. That was a boring. I guess they were the most successful couple was probably the most boring couple.
Oh, yeah. Johnny and I can't even think of her name. Amy?
Just boring, bro. But they fit so well together, man. It was like, oh, they're cute.
Walmart, Kittle. That's a Walmart George Kittle, bro. just looks almost identical. The funny thing was, and they asked this question in the reunion, I was like, listen. Like condoms have their purpose. They're also awful. But like it was like the birth control thing. I was like, has he never heard of a condom? I mean, this man was talking about getting a vasectomy and then getting like a reverse vasectomy. Oh, Chris said they done landed the birth control sponsorship though. No, shout out. Hustlers. I was before we start recording. I wanted to do this is Clay Davenport. It's Clay Davenport. Okay. Hey, Coach Sean. I know you want me to like, commit, be a full-time football player, and I know you see like the potential's there. Like you've changed me as a person, you've changed me as a man. You see what I did in 2019, the excitement of fulfilling my potential, But coach, like I don't know if I'm really ready to make that commitment yet. See, this couch is right there, and the anime is anime and coach, and like you've changed me. You've done so much for me, Coach Payton and Ryan Nielsen, but I don't know if I'm ready to be the man and be the player that you traded up and needed me to be. That is Clay Davenport.
It's Clay, bro. That's it.
Clay Davenport, bro. Let's talk about this Saints offense. Let's go into this. Any thoughts of them signing the linebacker Hudson? Kind of, I think G said in our Discord perfectly. He just feels very much like the new version of like Craig Robinson.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, special teamer, a little bit of upside. I could probably give you some starting snaps. I haven't watched one snap of him, so I can't tell you his athletic profile. I did read Mike Dettillier's scouting report on him or whatever. I was like, cool, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see, bro. It's on par with the Saints offseason so far. Just, you know, not even shopping at Goodwill, man. They're shopping at the clearance rack at Goodwill. Like, just shit, they couldn't even.
Nigga, they had to swap me. Swap me. They had a garage sale, bro. I can't.
Oh, Craigslist. Dang. They had the little, you know, that little spot you went to where you came out here, the little Amazon liquidation.
Oh, yeah, but, of course.
They're shopping on that $1 deal that last day.
That last day, bro. They're not going on the first day when all the deliveries come fresh, bro.
Hey, bro, you know they closed that shit. That shit just closed down, too. The one down here. Yeah, oh, man. They started tripping, bro. They went from, like, the best day used to be $7. Then it went up to, like, $11 for, like, the best day. And it's like, oh, it ain't worth it no more. And then they started, like, when they have some good shit, like they'll have like office chairs or
maybe
a little laptop, they'll be taxing for that shit, man. They'll be charging $200-$300 for that shit. It's like, oh, what's the fucking point? You know what I'm saying? Now you're out of business, dumbass.
Inflation, bro. Just dumb it.
Dumb.
Dante said offer up. Let's look at this offensive quandary that we have with the Saints right here. Our lads. Just been a constant for us football heads for years. Start with quarterback right here. Derek Carr, Jay Kaner, Nathan Peterman. That's our quarterback room right now.
You know, it's all about Jay Kaner for me, bro. Like,
That's deep.
I think it was that Brady Six doc that came out years ago, that 30 for 30 or whatever. It was going through Brady. And I remember there was a part where I think his second season, he hadn't started yet. He was still a backup. And he was, you know, off season throwing with somebody, he told his boy, like, I'm taking that starting job, bro. And he said he was just throwing the ball. His friends were like, just kept throwing the ball harder and harder. Like, I'm taking that starting job. I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? That's the mentality I want Haney to have. Like, just go and take that thing, bro. I mean, Derek Carr, yes, he's a veteran starter and all that, but he ain't all that. Like, you could put some pressure on him. I ain't saying, like, he would actually win the job, but put some pressure on him, man. And you should definitely be getting Nate Peterman out the door. Like, you just send him home.
I wish and pray that it would be if it's close in OTAs and it's close in training camp, to me, it needs to be an actual competition. Like, it needs to be an actual competition.
Absolutely. Like, bro, if Nate Peterman taking snaps, like legitimate snaps in preseason games, I'm just going to throw the food at them. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Lob 32 CD says, if Carr gets hurt and Haener comes in and plays well for multiple games, do y'all think Carr gets his job back?
Probably.
I would say probably.
Probably.
Just because DA just don't want that stink of his pick not working out. Right. Now, that's the thing that's so crazy to me, is that it seems that at times, the decisions that the team makes, whether it's Mickey Loomis, whether it's Dennis Allen, it's so more focused on job preservation rather than winning football games. Like, right. That is wild to
me. Wow, bro.
It's wild. I'm rooting for Jake. I'm rooting for Jake Haner this offseason. He came in last year in the, I'm not going to say the entire team, but some people on the team had such like high praise for him as a player. And I stand by this. We're calling him the best quarterback on the team through OTAs and through mandatory mini camp and then some parts in the training camp. Like, to me, that's a telling statement that you signed Derek Carr. Jameis Winston was on the team and a rookie came in and looked like he was the best quarterback out of all three. And then I would love an explanation of just why the team soured on him. I don't know if it was a preseason game. I don't know if it was a suspension. I don't know. But to go from that line of thinking to him to then him essentially just not dressing for any game the entire season, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. Demon Time Slime says, I feel like it's money and DA has to do the right thing so they won't give him the job. Yeah, give him the job. Probably. I don't know. Let's go to running back. AK, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Jordan Mims. This is why I'm hot. James Robinson.
I mean,
that to me, this hinges on Kendre Miller's health and can Clint Kubiak make AK look somewhat close to old AK?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, if he could just block, get the offensive line to block for Alvin Kamara, and get Alvin Kamara involved in the pass game like we've been screaming about for years now. And I'm not talking about just check downs to the sideline. I'm talking about actually involved in the pass game, running routes, you know, dictating things against the defense and all that as a joker, as a matchup nightmare and all that stuff. Can he do that? And Kendre Miller, man, it's like, can he stay healthy? That's my question with him, because when he did get on the field, he showed nice flashes. Signs every time, nice flashes. Bro. And I think he's somebody that can excel in a system like this that kind of, you know, press the edge, you know, re-cut up. I could see him excelling in that role in his offense, man. So I'm kind of excited for him. Like, out of like all the offensive, mm-hmm. young offensive players, like, he's one that I'm probably the most excited for, him and A.T. Perry. But I think Kendrick really going to get an opportunity. So, like, I'm really excited for him, but he just got to stay healthy, bro. I don't know what he got to do. I don't know if it's diet. I don't know if it's luck. I don't know, whatever. But he just got to figure out how to stay healthy, man.
Lob 32 CD says, Adrian Peterson better than Jamal Williams right now. I got money on that.
Hey,
listen, bro, like, they could probably, like, they could likely draft a running back in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round that probably would unseat Jamal Williams.
For real.
Like, for real. It's that bad.
It's that bad, bro.
I get it. Like, the line did not run block well, but even when they ran block okay, I guess, like, he to me looks worse than Latavius Murray did at any point when he started to look bad for the Saints and he left and then he kind of got rejuvenated and he came back, whatever. Jamal Williams looks worse than Murray.
No question. Look worse than Mark Ingram when Mark Ingram came back.
Yes.
When we traded him got him from the Texans or whatever.
Right.
Look worse than that, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, you'd be shocked when he'd have like 5 yards. You'd be like, ooh, 5 yard run from him. Cooking.
Demon Tom Slom says, why is he still on the team?
I mean,
a body at this money. Point.
He's a body, guaranteed money.
Rod said, Kendre needs to show why they don't need to bring back AK next year.
Gotta be
healthy on the field first.
Yeah, gotta play. Like, you gotta play, bro. Like, you can't even think like that. He got to stay on the field. That's what he needs to be thinking about. you know, the 8K thing, we'll see. You know, probably his last year, unless he wants. I know, you know, we've heard things about extensions maybe and stuff like that. I know 8K loved Saints. He loved New Orleans. So, you know, that could change, could not change. Got the money issue and stuff like that. He's highly paid right now. So
I know that
either way, it wouldn't surprise me.
I know that beginning the offseason, they didn't want to give they didn't want to have some type of extension with AK, kind of probably similar to what they did with Honey Badger. Don't know if that's still in the plans, don't know what have you, but I know that's something that the team wanted to do. Let's quickly take a little sidetrack, getting away from the Saints, and kind of go over the big news that happened this morning, yesterday morning. I don't even know what time it is. Stephon Diggs traded to, I think it was today, traded to the Houston Texans, goes from the Bills to the Texans. Texans now have flooded CJ Stroud with weapons. Stephon Diggs, he has Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Joe Mixon at running back. Who's the former Dallas tight end? I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz. Listen, if you want a blueprint of what you do when you have a stud rookie quarterback on, or sorry, a stud young quarterback on a, like a rookie, you know, rookie contract, perfect example is the Houston. And I feel weird giving the Texans like love because like their owner was Bob McNair, and he was big racist and just, and they knew that Deshaun Watson was being a creep and they didn't really say anything. Listen, I have my issues about giving the Texans any type of credit, but under Caserio, they have done a masterclass thus far.
No question, man. I love how it's a mix of veterans and young players. Because, you know, it's young quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Still young, even though he's excellent. And he's still a young quarterback, so I just like that mix of veteran and young players.
Yep.
It's just what you're supposed to do, bro. Like, we'll figure out the defense, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got D'Amico Ryan's head coach. We'll figure that defense out, but get that young offense, that young quarterback cooking early. Get him cooking early. He showed the talent. He showed the intelligence. Showed all that stuff. Give him every reason to succeed. You know what I'm saying? Like, do the complete opposite of what the Carolina Panthers doing. Complete opposite.
That, you know, the opposite of what the Bears did with Justin Fields. With
Justin Fields, yep.
And here's something. Listen, this kind of went back to, you know, our dude Nick and our Discord was saying, like, Stephon Diggs was like a luxury for the Texans. And listen, when you're a team and you have goals, you have to pinpoint who are the teams that potentially are in your way that can stop you from getting to a Super Bowl. So I'll go back to the playoffs game against the Ravens, right? As great as C.J. Stroud was, that second half, the Ravens defense clamped the hell out of that Texans offense. Clamped it, shut it down. So you have to, as a team and as a young quarterback, give him and your team every shot of success that they can. So it's like, all right, if you're gonna put your best corner on Nico Collins, cool. Well, guess what? Now we got Stephon Diggs. Okay, now we got Tank Dell. When you got to think long term in terms of just how to beat the teams that you're going to come across in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, whatever it is, like, I don't care. Offense, defense, what you have to stack the cupboard with talent on both sides of the ball if you know you're going to meet Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game.
Got to.
So, like, I don't want, like, the whole Stephon Diggs was a luxury thing. No, bro, it's not a luxury. Like, when you're in the AFC right now, it's a necessity.
We need it.
Live 32 City says, goes to show how you can rebuild a roster quickly if you focus on putting together the right staff, front office, willing to move on from players early instead of late. That is huge. Good point. Let's also just talk about, listen, they got the biggest part of it right. 1A, they got the quarterback. That's the hardest part. The hardest part. They got lucky also because Bryce Young, because Devin Tepper overrode Frank Wright and chose Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. So they got some luck in that. But they drafted the quarterback, and then even before drafting the quarterback and getting the quarterback right, they got the head coach hire right. I still contend that getting the quarterback right is hot, is harder than getting the head coach right. But they got those two things right. And in that same draft, they traded back up and got their pass rusher, edge rusher, number five, top five player of the draft of the defensive side of the ball in the same draft. I'm not saying that after that, the rest of it's easy, but it makes so much of the job a lot easier when you get those two things right.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Especially, quarterback, bro, like, once you get that puzzle piece into place, man, it's like when you play Tetris. When you play Tetris and the blocks are falling and you get that solid foundation going that you can really cook. It's like that, man. It's like, you get that quarterback piece in there, bro. Everything, your wide receivers start looking a little better. Your offensive line start looking a little better. When you got the right quarterback in place, man, it just makes everything so much easier.
Let's put it like this. Do we know Nico Collins was this nice before this season? Do we know that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'm just saying. Bro, Mitch just be throwing hyperboles out there, bro. Mitch said Bryce Young will be better with his second team. It's his second year, Mitch. Like, give Bryce Young a chance, bro. I'm not saying it's looking great.
He already moved up to second team.
Second team. Right, second team. All right, let's get back to the Saints' offense's breakdown. We finished running back. Let's go to tight end.
Okay.
Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, Taysom Hill, Tommy Hudson, Michael Jacobson. Those are fake players. Absolutely fake players. Dante to the Texans gave up a second that wasn't their own, and Diggs' deal to where he's on a prove it deal now. Smart. Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. Probably the most underwhelming part of the team was a tight end position, and I think it was probably one of the most disappointing because I think there was an easy assumption made that Derek Carr cooked with Darren Waller. Derek Carr did pretty well with Foster Moreau when he was with the Raiders, that it would be an easy transition and a seamless transition that we'd get tight end an increase in tight end production. Juwan Johnson, to quote, you know, the Around the NFL podcast, felt making the leap.
Make the leap, bro.
Nigga made a TikTok. That's what that nigga made, not a leap. Nigga made a TikTok.
And I don't know why. I don't know what the issue was. I mean, I know DA kind of criticized him a couple times in the pressers. Like, you know, he wants more from Juwan Johnson. And, you know, he showed a little more towards the end stretch.
The end, right.
But it's like, I don't know what the issue was there. I don't know if it was Derek Carr, Pete Carmichael. I don't know. I don't know what the issue was. But they definitely
he did hurt get hurt for a little bit.
They get hurt also, but they definitely need more juice just in that tight end room, period, bro. And I don't know if they're going to get it.
You know, when you say juice, here's something I want to ask you. If you know that the Jets are just salivating, just sorry, I know that for people who listen, that might be uncomfortable, to draft Brock Bowers at 10 overall. And the Bears are sitting at 9. Maybe Chicago potentially wants Brock Bowers. I know they have Cole Kmet, but they draft Caleb. You know, you have draft Caleb. You draft back Brock Bowers at 9. Then you have Brock Bowers, Cole Kmet, Caleb, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen. Like, that's nice, right? Like, that's nice. But let's say you're Mickey Loomis. I hate using this as an example because he gets raked over coals when he makes trades. You call up the Bears, you call up Ryan Poles, and you say, hey, I want to come to 9, want to draft our tight end of the future, blah, blah, blah. what would a reasonable trade be if they were set on Brock Bowers? And I'm not saying that they are. This is completely conjecture and just for fun to move from 14 to 9. What would be a reasonable, that's not that many spots. Not that many spots. It's a 5-spot jump.
Reasonable. I think we definitely have to give up our second round pick.
To go up 5 spots?
I think so, bro. To get in the top 10? I think we might have to get that one up, man.
I would have to see what the trade was to trade up for Cedric Ellis. Man, that made me feel old as shit mentioning that, bro.
Yeah.
The Rook 10 says, yeah, it costs a lot to move into the top 10. It does, but also it depends on – it does, but we've seen crazy things happen. I still remember what Jeff Ireland was, like, bragging of what they gave up to move to 3 for Deion Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
It was like peanuts. Draft.
Yeah.
Right? So it depends on the draft. It depends on the teams. Right? Would you give up – let me throw this out. Would you give up next year's – third round pick?
I would. I'd absolutely do it. To go get Bowers? Yeah. I'd do it to go get Bowers. I'd do it to go get Rome. I'd do it to go get Dallas Turner.
Mitch, I'm about to block or mute Mitch. This man said next year's first. Get Mitch out of my face right now, bro.
Oh, man. No, I do not. Unless we're going to get a quarterback, I do not want to give up next year's first. I do not want to give – because that – I have a
– oh,
it's a good possibility that's a top 10 pick. It's a very good possibility.
Yes.
Very good possibility, man.
Yes. Lob 32 CD says, she said shit, give him a Lante Taylor and a fourth. Listen.
I mean
– speaking of the Maddox thing. Maddox resigned with the Eagles today. That was just on my radar, bro. Like, all that came out first day of free agency. The Saints, I have a visit with Avante Maddox. And I'm like, there was literally, Ryan, not a single update after that came out. Even just the terrible, the visit seemed to have went well and both sides are, you know, contemplating their next. Nothing, bro. Like, it was on my radar.
You went on back to the Eagles.
Rod said that might be top 3, referring to the Saints first rounder next year.
I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, I just, going back to the whole tight end thing, you just take Bowers and you just like just put him right there, bro.
And it'd be just what the offense needs too, man. Like
needs.
We got the speed and route running with Shaheed and Olave. You got the big, you know, the big big body threat with AT. You know, you got the pass catcher running backs. You get a tight end in there. And just what a really good all around tight end does. Like, even Greg Cassell talked about this. Like, you know, even though like Bowers is viewed as kind of like a offensive weapon, like, he's a willing blocker. You know what I'm saying?
He's a complete player.
Complete player, man. So when you have a tight end like that, you can do so much offensively, schematically. Like,
well, let me get to this point. Gets comment. Saints make the playoff next year with the correct pieces this year.
Maybe. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, they got a lot to prove, man. Like, I just can't say that.
All right, hold on. Okay, they play that. AFC West and the NFC and the NFC East. Okay. So that's Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Cowboys, Giants, Philly, Commanders. Out of those 8 games, those 8 teams I just named, Ryan, who are you can confidently say that they can beat? Confidently say that they can beat.
They say that, but Raiders, maybe, depending on, just depending on who's, like, if they got, you know, the Purdue kid at quarterback. I don't know, like, Gardner Johnson at quarterback. I don't know. Not Gardner Johnson, Gardner Minshew.
The only team Raiders. Out of those eight I can say they can confidently beat are the Giants and the Commanders.
Even the Giants, man, I don't know. I mean, I know Danny Jones ain't shit, but
he cut up that Sean Payton DA defense though.
So I'm just saying,
when our secondary was looking good too, bro.
I'm just saying, I don't have any confidence, man. Like
that's what. Like, so I'm just. It was. He said, "I think y'all are underestimating us a bit." I don't think we are. I think we've seen this team be this team these last 4 years. We know what they are.
Watch the Saints, bro. Like,
if the Dante said we almost lost to the Beignet. Yes, we were there. Tyson Beignet was in that first half, cutting us up, bro. Listen, I will say this. If the Clint Kubiak portion offensively can get the offense to look decent to almost good, I can meet you there. But I also think, too, the competition level this season raises a completely different notch. We're going against Patrick Mahomes. You're going against Justin Herbert. Not only that, the competition and talent-wise that the teams that they face increases, the coaching that Dennis Allen goes against, the coaching acumen increases. Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh. Like, these things are important when you're thinking of win-loss record.
Yeah.
Like, everything is – like, the Saints historically had one of the most easiest schedules a team could have in the easiest division last season.
It's ridiculous. And, I mean, who was the best quarterback we faced last year? Stafford? You know?
Yeah, it was Stafford. It was Stafford by far.
Sliced the defense up like chopped liver.
Bro, I was just like, are we? But I knew very early, I was like, these niggas about to get ran the fuck out the building. Ran out.
It's chopped up by Goff.
No, Rook. It was not Baker Mayfield. It was Matthew Stafford, and it was Matthew Stafford by far. So Eddie looked up what it cost the Saints to move from, I guess at that point it was from 10 to 7. So it was even like a smaller jump. How crazy is this? It's going to make you feel old as shit. In that draft, that was 2008, the Saints drafted Cedric Ellis, 7th overall, and they gave up the 10th pick and a third pick to move up to the 10th pick. Sorry. They moved from 10 to 7, and they gave up a third to do so. That 10th pick that the Patriots got, they drafted Gerard Mayo. Ooh, boy.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
That fifth round, so the Saints picked up the fifth round pick from the Patriots from that trade. Shout out to Eddie for pulling that up. Saints drafted Carl Nix.
Wow. Ooh. Hell of a pick right there, boy.
The Rook said the move is to trade back, in my opinion. I would agree with you. It is not how this team... I'll say this, though. I would bet my salary that they wouldn't trade back, but with all the moves that has come out this offseason in terms of, like, maybe cleaning up the cap a little bit and not spending as much and kind of maybe agreeing and realizing that maybe a soft rebuild, I think if they were to trade back, this would make the most... season would make the most sense for them to do so from like a long-term perspective. But the way I say is that from a talent perspective, like this draft is like from like maybe like 20 up, this draft is good, bro.
It is, man.
Like,
it is.
So like to move back in this draft, like you have to get an offer that's enticing as hell.
Right.
And someone we were talking about the JJ McCarthy situation. He's there at 14. You know, you might not know what like maybe the Giants take, you know, Malik Nabers at 6 or Rome at 6 or whatever they're picking. And then JJ gets to 14. They're like, oh, we love JJ. We can get away with Daniel Jones. And they offer next year's first or some shit. Then you say, hey, give me next year's first. Give me a second. Good luck, right? I think there's, you know, exceptions to the rule. But this draft, me and Ryan and GM Mature, like, that offer has to blow us away to move down.
Right. Has to blow us away. And don't get too cute about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
Go get you a good ass player. You know what I'm saying?
So you brought this chat. You brought this point up in the chat in the Discord. We got 20 concurrent viewers on right now. We're gonna wrap it up pretty soon. In the next 10 minutes or so. The thing with Brock Bowers that is underrated is that the offensive line is like a point of. You need help on the offensive line, right? I think that's easy to be said. Brock Bowers, if he's drafted, could help you with that and in other areas, which I think is an underrated, like, element. Shout out to London. Love you too, bruh. A of the Don says, if Olu and Bowers are there, do you draft Bowers and pick an offensive tackle in the second round? Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I get it. I get it either way. I would want Bowers, but look, Olu, everything I've read about him, I have not watched him enough. I put that a few little clips. You know, he's going to be a stud, man. I mean, he's going to be good. I get it if they make the move. It makes sense. It makes sense. But give me Bowers, man. Like, I feel like when you go into the draft, you know, trying to address needs, man. That's how you pass up on a Randy Moss or pass up on, you know, you go look back at old drafts and you see these Hall of Fame or these all pro players that get passed up. You're like, man, how did teams pass them up? This is how
teams
are so hyper focused, tunnel vision on, I got to fill this need. I got to fill this need. Who get great players? If Brock Bowers is like the top five player on your board, just talent wise, and he's sitting there 14. Go get him. Throw all that positional value bullshit out the way.
Are we going to use Bowers enough to justify the pick? Is my question. Listen, I'll say this. Someone made a great comment to this one. Sam LaPorta was like one of their top rated players that they really wanted to draft in the second round, and had Detroit not drafted him, I have high suspicion that he probably would have been a Saint. I don't know how the other teams from like Detroit, from New Orleans viewed him, but I know the Saints loved him at the prospect. Shout out to Jeff Ireland. That becomes a coaching thing, right? Like, but I think something that you have to get away from is you have to separate the coaching from the team building. Because I'm not building my team about the current coaching staff. I'm building the team long term. So if they draft Brock Bowers, maybe this coaching staff, maybe Clint Kubiak, whatever, don't know how to use him. But if DA is out after the season, a player like Brock Bowers is going to be enticing to whatever coaching staff is coming in.
Absolutely.
Let's get into wide receivers. And as we do finish up this offensive review of the offensive roster. So we have Chris Olave, Stanley Morgan, who's a fake effing player, Rashid Shaheed, Cedric Wilson, A.T. Perry.
Nice little group. It's a nice group. You know what I'm saying? Even Cedric Wilson, you know what I'm saying? That's a nice little piece to grab, you know, to throw in there with A.T. Perry. What to expect from A.T. Perry? I feel like he wasn't used enough last season. I thought he made the most out of I think he had 12 catches. I mean, he made the most out of them 12 catches, man.
Did he only have 12 catches, bro? He had 30.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, he made the most out of them 12, man. So he's a guy that I just, you know, it's going to be all about his relationship with Carr and the offense, you know. Like, you got to keep reminding myself, like, man, this is going to be a completely new offense. We've had the same offense for so long. Really don't know what to expect. How players going to be deployed and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting. But it's a nice group. Like, I think they will address wide receiver in the draft at some point. But, you know, I don't – like, what they have now is a good starting point. They need depth.
It is.
They definitely need depth there. They definitely need a little more juice, I believe. They need an offensive weapon. They need a possession.
They need a dog. I think maybe A.T. Perry can – I don't want to compare him to Michael Thomas, but I'm just saying just in the role that he builds of just being consistently there, possession, move the chains. I feel like that's something that they need. I wouldn't be shocked maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe after the draft, you see Hunter Renfro's name on here, what have you. Eddie said, A.T. Perry, 12 catches, 246 yards, 4 touchdowns. Man, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
Man, he squeezed every inch falls out of those catches, bro.
That's what I'm saying, man.
We got offensive line. This is what it is as of right now. Left tackle, Trevor Penning. Left guard, James Hurst. Eric McCoy at center. Cesar Ruiz at right guard. Ryan Ramczyk as of right now at right tackle, but that man might not be playing football, so maybe that becomes Landon Young, who's also hurt. Backups is the Oli Aduhu, who they picked up from Minnesota, who I believe was also coming out off an injury, recovering off an injury. At left guard, there's a Mark Evans, the second, who seems like a made-up player. Nick Saliverde, second-round player who Dennis Allen said they don't even know what they have him yet, which is wild to me because he literally has been on the team for one season. And then Tommy Kramer, backup right tackle.
Made up. It's not an impressive group, man. It is not impressive, bro.
Like, but here's the crazy thing, though. First round pick, second round pick, even though he may be retiring. There's just been so much draft capital put into these positions, and it's crazy.
It's crazy, bro. I mean, Penny is the star of the show, though, man. It's like,
Mark said, "What's Tim Lolito up to?"
Where's Brian De La Puente, man?
Can we get Cidio back? Can we get Cidio back, bro?
Cidio was a dog, man. Calamente.
I like how he pronounced his name like it's Hispanic when it's Polynesian as hell, bro.
Calamente. Bring them back, man. And that's another thing. I remember there was a time when, like, I just had faith in this team drafting, acquiring offensive linemen. Like, it just wasn't something I really worried about. I was like, Sean Payton going to identify the right guy. They're not going to go into a season with a bad offensive line. That was just my feeling. And now that's just gone, man. It's like, I don't trust who they select. I don't trust the coaching. They made some changes. They got rid of Doug Marrone. Got, you know, some veteran coaches in there. We'll see how it works out. But I got to see it, bro, because I just lost faith in their ability to develop offensive linemen, man.
None.
And to be fair, it started off really bad last year.
It especially did. It got better in pass protection.
And it got a lot better. Like, a lot better. So, the run blocking was awful all year.
Awful.
So they got a lot of work to do, man. Like, they got to address it in the draft, unfortunately. They got to address offensive line in the draft. But I just hope they don't go in there with tunnel vision. It's my only
tunnel vision. Right. Yeah. Lob 32 CD says, do y'all think letting Teron walk was a mistake?
Nah.
I don't. Teron's been Teron. And that means when he's played, he's looked fantastic. But it's the whole when he's played part. Like, that hasn't changed. And
that's the issue. That's the issue I had was they never had a plan after Teron.
No.
They went in, after he left, they went into the draft, tunnel vision, and took Trevor Penning, you know, with the second pick that they acquired. So it's like it's that same thing over and over. They had a plan. They knew Teron was Teron the whole time. He was missing. I think he missed like 50% of all his games with the Saints. You know what I'm saying? And he's going through the same thing with the Dolphins. So they should have had a real plan, heir apparent, you know what I'm saying, for him at some point. But They didn't do that. But I don't think it's smart to move on.
The smart teams do it, bro. Like the Ravens, like they draft. The Patriots used to do it with Belichick. They would draft your replacement like a season or a season and a half before your contract was up. It's just how they did it. Eddie the Don said that's why having quality depth is valuable. It is. And also why, like, comments that, like, DA makes of, like, them not knowing what they have in Nick Saliverde, like, is just baffling to me.
Baffling, bro.
How? Like, if I'm a reporter, my follow-up question is, like, was he not at the facility? Was he not at practice?
What do y'all do on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays?
How do you not know what you have in hands of?
What y'all do through training camp? Like, what are we doing?
let's end with fullback Adam Prentice and Xander.
I don't care. Tommy Lee Jones.
He don't care about fullback. It'll be interesting to see. I know, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Clint Kubiak does if he, you know, he did, you know. It wasn't his offense, but Kyle Shanahan obviously used check in his offense very well. This is the question I still need to know. Maybe we won't have clarity for it until maybe May. I still don't know what Taysom Hill's role on this team is. I still don't know if he's going to remain on the team. I really don't.
I really don't know, man. He probably doesn't know. You know what I'm saying? So last season, they didn't know. It was kind of like, let's figure out what we could do with him. You know what I'm saying? And
I was screaming it, bro. Like, they did everything in their power to eliminate a role for Taysom Hill in the offseason last season. It was clear.
All he did was continue to be the, you know, break the glass. Bro. Come save us, Taysom. Come save us.
Please
save us.
Bro, I know he's like canceled, but all I think about is like the Chappelle skit on Michael Jackson, bro. Like, he got the cure to cancer. No, you didn't need me. You didn't want me when you needed. Anyhow, not much Love is Blind commentary for those who are worried about that, but we just had to get some thoughts out. Thanks to White Wealth for saying I was being an excellent thespian channeling my Clayton.
It was good, man. Really was good.
Appreciate it. Last thing I have. Big shout out to Jessica, Queen Bee. Liked our Instagram post story that we posted today. A white well of the Saints Block Party podcast is getting Jessica to come on and just chop it up with us. And it's not for us, it's not even about like the listens and the views that will follow, bro. Like I got legit questions. Like I would be more prepared for that interview than any football interview that would do. I would have like a notepad, just like one thing before we go wrap this up. Why don't people, and it feels like it's a very guy thing. I've noticed this. Why don't men like Laura, bruh? I want to know, what is it about Laura that just like everyone in our Discord is like, Laura the bully? Like, no, bro. Like, I don't.
Look, I mean, everybody got their own reasons. For me, it's not that I didn't like her. I looked at her like, man, she'd be a cool chick to hang with. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like my feel. Yeah. I feel like I'm like, that she'd be a cool chick to hang with. But it was the Hawaiian shirt thing that just got him under. Let that man have his Hawaiian shirts, bro. Like, why is she on that man about that shit? But other than that, like, I like the spice. I like it spicy. If y'all knew my wife, man, my wife.
Huh.
That's up, bro. So, like, I like them spicy like that, man. But I think she can't rub some people wrong because she don't. She would light your ass up. You know what I'm saying? She would light it up, man.
But here's the thing. Like, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, me too. Ooh. So for me, it was just a Hawaiian shirt thing. Man. I was like, man.
But here's, but, like, people were saying, like, she was, like, our dude Paul in the Discord was saying that she was a bully. Like, this man literally, can we just talk about how much of an idiot and an ass Jeremy is? I can't.
Oh, you're such an ass, bro.
Bro, dick. When he was on the reunion, bro, the reunion episode, that man, like, he had slept in, like, a week, bro. Like, he was on a bender, bro. Man looked stressed.
Stressed, bro. He was so stressed. Sweating, bro. Oh, you sweat.
Listen, this is, I'm not saying for the podcast, but, you know, me, myself, this is a hashtag Team Laura account. Like, I don't know what, as a human, you would expect when this man, who was a fiance, after literally just, like, meeting her parents and her family, goes and hangs out with someone for the 5 a.m. And got his location.
Last location though, and then like, oh, she just popped up. We didn't expect her to be there. Like, come on, bro, stop,
nigga. Who you trying to fool?
Like, come on, man.
You know what's crazy though? Out of all that, there's something in me that truly does believe him and does believe Sarah Ann that they didn't do anything. I believe that.
I believe it too. So after watching it, is Love Blind?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the person and the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cop-out answer, but like with the couple that got married, Johnny and, I can't even think of her name.
Yeah.
Amy? No, not Amy. But like, you saw it with Jimmy. And you saw it with Jimmy and Chelsea. Like, yeah. It was very, very obvious that, like, soon as he, like, walked out and the reveal happened, I was like, oh, boy, oh.
He was like, hey, I can't believe it's you. You know? And I believe she said something like, you know, like, she asked him, like, am I pretty to you? Or something like that. I was like, ooh, when you gotta ask that.
Here's the thing. I don't mind Chelsea, you know. It's the amount of backlash that I'm sure that she's gotten for
she
the
got
whole
a
making.
Ton, bro. She got
Here's
a ton.
The thing. She does. I don't care what anyone effing says. I did not see it until, so like, she was saying who like right before she said who it was. Jay said Megan Fox before she said it. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I could not unsee it at that point. I'm like, I see it 100%. Like, when I think Megan Fox, like, she looks like Megan Fox, like Transformers Megan Fox, not like current Megan Fox to me, right? I couldn't unsee it, right? So, like, for me, the amount of backlash that she got from that, like, if I see it, like, I'm pretty sure she's probably not the only, like, people say I look like, the black guy from This Is
Different
Us.
Different World?
No, haven't gotten that one in a long time. This Is Us also was in, Black Panther.
Oh, wow.
Sterling K. Brown, right? Yeah. I've heard them all. Sterling K. Brown, I've heard 50 Cent. I've heard a plethora of people I look like. Do I think I look like them? Not really, but whatever. But again, because it's something that we as people and we as men will never be able to identify with, of like the online vitriol that women get, like, ooh, for her, for what she went through in like the public and all that. Like, listen, I'm a Chelsea fan and I'll leave it at that. It's funny to me that both Chelsea and Jessica are buds, like they're friends, which is funny. That lake side episode, bruh, you would have thought I was watching a football game when Jessica came out, bruh. I literally yelled, "Let's go!" Like, bro, you thought the Saints would have scored a touchdown, bro. I was ready. Anyway, we've lost our entire chat, but you know what?
They go.
I don't care. This is you and I. We needed to talk about this. So, but I will say that there's aspects of the show and the premise of not being able to see the person, or not even that. It's just there are some people in life that you meet and you connect with that connection is like any like nothing else that you've had with any other person.
Yeah.
It happens. And I think that there's aspects of that that is true and that is a factor. But
absolutely. On
the flip side, when you're about to marry a person, when all of that, like, there, like, attraction, intellectual attraction, personality attraction, sense of humor attraction, all that could be great, but there has to be a physical attraction. If there's not a physical attraction, you are... It's not going to work, bro. It's just not
going to work. It's not going to work. And look, even with blind dates, you know, if you really, really connect on a, you know, personal, spiritual level and all that stuff, it can make them look attractive. You know what I'm saying? Like,
big time.
It just accentuates certain things. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it depends. Like you said, it depends on the person, man. Like, it could go different ways. But if you trying to force it, and you just trying to look at it, like, you know, I look at it this way, she do it kind of good. You know,
bro, that was Jimmy all season, bro.
He was just like, poor Jimmy. I just couldn't get over because they was hot behind Jimmy, bro. I'm like, y'all like this dude? This guy? He's like a cool guy. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. Like a cool dude, but.
Jimmy, that Walmart Christian McCaffrey, bro, had him hot.
Hey, Walmart McCaffrey, bro. They wanted him.
The funniest part, bro, was like when they all like met in person and Jimmy was talking to AD, bro. Turned her around.
It's like Jimmy a fool, bro. He was like, ooh. Boy, Chelsea was.
Bro, it's entertainment, but also like that's a person, bro. Like that's a shitty feeling. It's a shitty feeling.
And you could see it was so cringy watching it. It was cringy because you watching Chelsea and she watching him. And she's just like, you know.
Anyway. we might have to just do like a whole like sub episode, bro. We just might have to just get it all. Hey, man, anyway,
I watch a lot of trash TV, bro, so it ain't nothing to me.
I feel like, do you remember that couple from 90 Day Fiance? It was the white, like the thick white girl and like the African dude, and like he wanted to meet his son, but she like made the plans, like go to a room before, you know, the couple I'm talking about, bro. It's 90 Day Fiance. She didn't tell him about the plans.
Not the Trump supporter white lady, right?
No, she's like, he has like long brunette hair.
I remember.
And like the grandparents was holding like the mixed baby. And I know the grandpa was like, ooh, look at this little nigga. Like, you know.
I think I missed that one, bro. I know what you're talking about, though.
No, he didn't say nothing, bro. It was just a facial expression.
I know which one you talked about. It's coming to me now.
But I would have a whole, like, we just have to have, like, just, like, couldn't stand.
90 Day Fiancé, bro. I go all day about that one.
Bro, we might have to do it, bro. We might have to roll it out. Anyway, be on the lookout for Saints Love is Blind Beyonce pot meaning coming soon. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in, checking in. It was kind of fun going over the offense. I'll end the podcast with this. Looking at the offense, and I know the draft hasn't happened yet, and there's going to be free agency after the draft and play. The office needs some help, bro.
Some help. I put the thumbnail for this episode is like top five offense. Purely clickbait. Purely clickbait. No, it won't be a top five offense. Absolutely not. Try to get them clicks up, baby.
Anyway, hey, conference. Shout out to Renee. Renee, sorry you joined today. We're just wrapping up. We went like an hour and 10 minutes, and that's what happened. I know. We started talking reality TV, but thank y'all so much. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Sunday. I think we might have a guest on. Maybe. Don't hold us to that. If we don't, we'll figure it out. We do want to do a Saints Block Party podcast community mock draft where everyone has a team assigned to them, and we do it like on a live show. So if you're interested, please make sure that we, when it's set up, that you are available, that you're online, that you can make your pick. If you want to, you can even be in the audience and join us on the actual podcast and explain your pick. So please, it's something we want to do before the draft, where everyone has a team assigned to them and you make the draft pick and what have you. So that's something we want to do next week. And we also will do our episode. We're doing the prospect matching data that is only going to be for Patreons and YouTube members who are subscribed at the $4.99 level, which is only one level for YouTube. So we appreciate y'all so much. We thank y'all so much. We get it. It's the off season, but we are still here. We're still talking about the Saints. And when we're not talking about the Saints, we're talking about something. And we are putting out content, and we love y'all. And we will see y'all if you're coming to the draft party on the 25th of April. Bro, that is like in 21 days. That is crazy. The draft party, Saints Block Party Podcast draft party is 21 days away in New Orleans, night one of the NFL draft. So if you have not RSVP'd, please do. If you're not a Patreon, if you're not a YouTube member, you want to attend, please become a Patreon or a YouTube member. And so you can RSVP with that. We'll be back later on Sunday. With that, we're out.
Peace.